News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Tara Kangerlou is with us. She's global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran. Tara, it is difficult to actually get a sense of what the US position is from what Donald Trump said last night, because he said that there was all of the objectives had been achieved, yet there were still objectives to be achieved. There were regime change, although that regime change is effectively replacing an octogenarian with his son who shares the exact same ideology. He said previously that the Straits of Hormuz are open, and now is saying that it is the allies themselves, or putative allies who wouldn't come to his assistance, who would ultimately have to open the Straits. We tried earlier on to get David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief for The Guardian, to get to the bottom of that. Let's see here what he had to say.
Despite the high-profile nature of this primetime address, the biggest takeaway in the end was that there was no takeaway, really. It didn't move the needle much or tell us much new. And in terms of that, Pracy, perhaps most striking, what he did not say, he did not talk about the possibility of sending in American ground troops, which has obviously been a huge issue. He did not reference NATO, despite all those worries that he might use this address to perhaps even announce a withdrawal from NATO, and nor did he talk about his deadline of the 6th of April for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz or face severe consequences. And what we got instead was really a sort of highlights package summarizing what he's been saying a lot over the last few weeks in various off-the-cuff settings, that conflicting signal where he said strategic objectives are nearing completion. Almost in the next breath, saying, we're going to continue hitting them hard for 2 to 3 weeks and going to bring them back to the Stone Ages. He also reiterated his justification that Iran had been close to a nuclear weapon. There's certainly analysts who dispute that, but ultimately didn't really tell us much about how much longer this war is going to go on and what the exit strategy is.
Well, the line has just dropped to Tara Kangerlou. So let's go to Lars Jensen, who is shipping expert and former director at Maersk. The markets were hoping, I think, that there would be a line drawn and that they would see a clear sense of a conclusion to this conflict. That wasn't what emerged from Donald Trump's speech last night. What is the impact so far on global shipping and global exports? And what is the predicted outcome from your expert perspective, Lars?
Yeah, we are only in the beginning of the disruptive effects we're going to see from this. I mean, the speech yesterday did nothing to assuage the fears that the Hormuz Strait is going to be partially closed for the foreseeable future. Iranians have, over the last couple of days, instituted that not only do you have to be a friend of Iran, you have to pay a toll to get through. And there's nothing indicating that's going to change anytime soon. That being said, the Strait has now de facto been closed for a month. All the vessels that left a month ago are now finally arriving at their destinations. So we have had deliveries of oil products and, for that matter, fertilizer products over the last 3 to 4 weeks. Those deliveries are now going to stop worldwide. And even in the hypothetical, the Strait open tomorrow, it will be a month before deliveries would resume again. So we're only in the early phases of feeling what the real impact is going to be.
Can you give us some examples of what that real impact will be?
Well, part of that is a shortage of oil worldwide. And what that will mean is increasing prices. Oil is a commodity that can move anywhere. A tanker might be on its way to, let's just say, Ireland. But if somebody else in France decides they want to pay more for the oil, the tanker is going to turn around and go to whoever pays the most. Same thing goes for fertilizer. I don't think many people realize 30% of the world's fertilizer comes from the Gulf. And when fertilizer is not being shipped out, that means that some of the food production is going to see a shortfall come second half of this year. And just like with the oil, the fertilizer goes to who can pay the most, which mainly would be the Western countries, whereas developing countries, especially in Africa, is facing a very difficult future in second half 26 and into 27.
And what are the assertions that Donald Trump made that the US is self-sufficient in oil and in fact is net positive and therefore would be able to take up the slack? You could just, quotes, buy your oil from them.
There is absolutely no merit to that argument whatsoever. I mean, the Americans are producing full out. And as I mentioned before, oil goes to whoever pays the most. It might be that on paper the U.S. is self-sufficient, but if somebody else wants to pay more, well, that's who the oil companies are going to sell the oil to.
Does it have an impact on shipping of goods or products beyond oil? Is there any knock-on consequence across the maritime industry?
No, the main impact here is on the oil and energy products and the fertilizer products. When it comes to, for example, all the goods that we're used to getting in the supermarket in containers, that's actually one corner of shipping that is only marginally impacted. Unlike the crisis in the Red Sea with the Houthis shooting at ships that caused massive disruptions on cargo flows coming from Asia to Europe, this has only a marginal impact. It's only about 2% of the world's containers that actually go into the Gulf.
So what are you predicting then? Are we looking at the 1970s all over again? Is this queues at petrol stations? Is this people unable to afford home heating oil? Is this flight cancellations?
That could very well be part of what's on the agenda if this closure continues for a substantial amount of time, yes.
And have you a sense, Lars, how the US would not have wargamed for this? Because surely there are people who are expert in military strategy who would look and say, the obvious Iranian response will be to do this. We need to have a plan to respond.
I would be fairly certain that the US military have wargamed this. They were perfectly aware that this was a likely scenario. It just appears that the commander-in-chief either didn't care or didn't want to listen.
And in terms of how quickly things can get back on track, if Donald Trump does deliver on his plan or on his expressed intent that the war would end within the next 2 or 3 weeks, is it just that there will be that 1 month lag as things return to normal? Or do you think that the legacy will be longer than that?
The legacy could well be somewhat longer than that because it's no longer just about opening the Strait of Hormuz. You also had oil and gas facilities, some of which have been destroyed as part of the war. They would need to have to be rebuilt before the Middle East is up to full production. That is taking a much longer time. And furthermore, the Iranians would very likely try to uphold this toll they have now imposed in the Strait of Hormuz. So even if the US declared victory and left and went home tomorrow, that would not necessarily open up Hormuz to the degree that we were used to.
And they want the toll to remain in place because they need the money to rebuild their infrastructure, or they want the toll to remain in place as a punitive measure to warn off doing this kind of thing again?
Likely a couple of the two different ones. I could easily see a scenario where the toll for sure would be implemented on any ships that are associated with especially US and Israel and whoever Iran sees as being participants in the current war, simply as reparations for damages done.
Lars, thank you very much. That is Lars Jensen, shipping expert, former director at Maersk.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.